And I want really to say this to you, that what God gave us from the beginning is still true today.
That's right.
I did say in our first time together on this subject, I did say our roots are a word of faith. And our roots are still a word of faith. We may express all of that a little bit differently today, but our roots are still word of faith. We
Absolutely.
Try to bring a balance in the word here. Yet then I shot right out and took you into something that some claim imbalance about. And that's I began to speak to you about confession of the word and all of that. And most of us in our circles have not heard that recently, perhaps not for years. So last week, I began to talk to you about it a little bit, and I couldn't leave it where it was. And so I do have to do this morning. You know, how many remember the last time we were together and we read from the Word of God that the Word is a seed? Tell me, somebody tell me the scripture that we used to find that. Somebody work together with me at that. I'll wait on you. Just get.
Luke 17, verse 5.
And the Lord said, Luke 17.
That's faith is like a seed. Sorry.
That's all right. The Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Then we looked at another version, and we found out that it was a whole lot stronger than should obey you.
Yeah.
It said it would obey you in the interlinear Greek and in the Greek versions. It didn't say it would obey the Holy Ghost or God the Father, or Jesus the Son. It said it would obey you. And that was a key in thinking about and considering faith. Then let's also, and I'm just doing a fast little review here so we can jump off of this and move further in. Listen to this. Whoever shall say unto the mountain, well, we remember how that we discussed that and went into that a little bit. That's not talking about a literal mountain or, you know, though it can be. It could be. But for most of us, it's talking about problem areas in our lives. You tell it what to do and where to go. So hear this morning. Faith is as a seed. Faith is a seed. It works like a seed. You plant it, though, by speaking it. Hearing all of that, what I want you to hear this morning is that we have dominion with words,
yeah,
just like God did. Remember, God stood out looking over a dark world, and he said just some very simple little things. Light be. And the Bible says light was. But he did not wave a wand of any kind. He didn't go out and do anything. He spoke words. He had dominion with words, and he created us just like him, just like them. So understand and hear and listen to, you were created to have dominion with words. Remember how last week we talked about Adam having dominion in the garden and how important that was? And if you think about it, God said, have dominion, and then he told them what all, and it was virtually everything. And the bottom line was, he was supposed to have authority, dominion over all of those creatures. And do you remember I talked to you about an elephant? Adam had dominion over the elephants, but you know, if he had to chase them out of the garden, he probably couldn't do that in the physical. But he could do it with words.
That's right.
And we still have that kind of dominion if we'll take it.
Authority, yes.
Gary says authority, and those words are interchangeable,
that's right,
by the way.
Yep.
Dominion and authority come from the same root. And so hear it. You have authority with words if you'll use them. if you'll use them. In any event, that was a reminder a little bit so that we could move on. So hear this one last thing. We need to operate in the power of words and the law of faith. And by the way, the Bible itself says that faith is a law. It's not something we added to it. Oh, look at that's faith. That must be a law. No, the Bible speaks it, that faith is a law. That's a key. And so God gave us the law of faith to be able to operate our dominion with, to be able to operate in the power of God. And by the way, all of that brings with it something awesome. It brings with it God's willingness to use his power and ability on our behalf, and that's called grace. So the big deal is that if we really want to move into faith, what we need to do, what we must do, is operate the law of faith. Remember that God's got a kingdom, and that means king and his dominion. And we're part of that. But the deal is, it's his kingdom. It's not your kingdom, it's not mine. We get to be part of it. We get to be members of it, if you like. But the bottom line is he's going to have this kingdom his way. This is his way. And so all I'm doing is teaching, this is how God wants his kingdom operate. And I say, yes, sir. Whatever it is you want, God, however you want this kingdom operated, I'm glad to do it.
Amen.
Yeah. In today's world, even in the church world today, everybody wants to do their thing. Yeah. Everybody wants to do what they want to do. People want to operate faith their way. They want to operate authority their way. They don't really consider that God's got a way and it's the only way. I know that sounds law-ish to you, but it is. It's the law of faith. It is a law, if you like.
Yeah.
All of the kingdom is operated by God's laws, not my laws, not your laws, God's laws. And anything short of that isn't God, isn't kingdom, isn't faith. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I've tried this over the years, and probably you have too. God would say something, or I'd read something, and I'd say to myself, well, I think
that's what I did.
That's as far as it got.
Yeah.
But, you know, the bottom line is, it really doesn't matter what I think about it.
There we go. Yeah, thank
right.
you, Jesus.
It really doesn't matter what you think about it. It only matters what God thinks about it.
Amen.
Because it's his kingdom. It's his way of doing
yeah.
things. Does that sound strict? Does that sound harsh?
No.
I hope not. Because you know what? You know, my home is my kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
How about you?
Yes, the boys reminded me this morning.
The boys reminded you of that this morning? Good on you, boys. You know,
yes, that's right. Thank you, Gary.
The bottom line is you know, Adam had Eve, too. And when I'm not going down that road. There are just some battles that you ought to decide whether you're going to fight them or not. And I was not about to start that right now. So if I said anything wrong, sweetheart, I'm sorry. So I don't want a battle after church.
You don't get that many.
I don't.
No.
I don't get that many battles?
No.
No, I don't, do I? No. That's what she meant. You don't get to win them very. Yes. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm going to take us into an area this morning that I felt like we had not covered well about faith the last time. And if our foundation is word of faith, then that's where we ought to be for until we've got it. And so I'm hoping that we'll cover it well this morning. So there's a divine principle that I've already spoken, but I'll say it again right now, that God wants us to call things that are not.
Amen.
But we don't want to be off balance in that, so we'll probably cover it a little bit more thoroughly than we would most things, because there have been over the years, it's a divine principle, but there have been lots of people that have used it wrong. And therefore, people have thrown the baby out with the proverbial bathwater because of that. But the bottom line is, if you really want to please God, you need to call things
that be not
as though they were. Do you get that? Amen. That be not as though they were. Well, God's method then, it's God's method, and it's to his method is to call for a manifestation of the things that are not manifest that he promised. Hello. I hope you don't mind that I put that little qualifier at the end. Because a lot of people are out there trying to cause a manifestation of all kinds of things. But what God wanted us to do was to call for a manifestation of things that are not manifest that he promised. And if you think like that, if you consider like that, you'll never get yourself in a ditch that he promised. Now, I want to bring your attention to a scripture in John, and it says, it's John chapter 6 and verse 63, and I hope you'll throw that up on the board right away. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. I took that and did a study of it, as lots of you do here as well. And this is what came out of the study of that scripture. I'm going to say it to you a little bit differently. There is spirit life in the words that I speak, says God. There is spirit life in the words that I speak, says God. Now, we just read it, and I'll read it directly again to you. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And so this other version shows it like this. There is spirit life in the words that I speak. Words carry spiritual forces. And that's a key deal.
Yeah.
Words transmit fear. Or words
transmit faith.
Yeah. Words transmit life.
Yeah.
Words transmit fear. Here's something now. Words transmit images.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's a key deal too.
Yeah.
So there are life images and there are death images.
Yes, there are.
And, you know, you may not have thought about that for a while, but when I say to you that Joan drives a Buick, that those words transmit something to you, an image. Now, whatever it is that you have a picture of on the inside of you, it will be transferred by your words. Mm-hmm. Did you know that Marge has a nice truck? Marge has a black truck. She doesn't let Wayne drive her black truck very often. He only gets to use it when he asks. Are you getting any kind of an image right now? My wife takes my truck and drives it on me. Okay, I'm getting out of this. Picture some things, and then we'll see what God's word says about it. But here's what happens to lots of us. We hear a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we do.
That's not the word of God. And what happens is the stuff that we hear transmits images right into our hearts. We let our eyes see a lot of things that aren't God.
Yeah.
And even the words and the perception causes something to take place when it's not God.
Yeah.
Fear comes. Mm-hmm. Here's some of these things this morning, because we just live in a society today that has taken us away largely from God.
Yeah.
More and more and more and more, we hear what the world has to say. We hear television brings it, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Sometimes even listening to the word too often isn't good for me. Did I say that right? To the world, to the radio?
Yeah.
Did I say it wrong the first time?
Did.
I didn't mean the word. Sorry, take that back. don't get that
image
in the inside of you. I like this scripture, and I know you do too. It's from Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. It just says, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Y'all, when you do Bible studies, you always have to do the flip side, don't you? If you're really going to see the full picture, what would be the reverse side? What would be the flip side? Somebody help me. It's quiet in here. But faith won't come if you don't hear the word of God. It's really that simple, isn't it? And so, you know, sometimes we think we have faith, but we've not heard the word of God on it. And I might as well say this to you, too, before somebody gets in the ditch. It's not ever about hearing something one time.
That's right.
It's a process. The whole thing about faith is a process. And if you get that, you won't get in the ditch very far. The bottom line is this, that because you, and pastors get this all the time. You know what? I took the word of God and I spoke it and I prayed it and nothing changed.
Yeah.
It's because it's a process.
Yeah. Right.
Because I say something once from the word of God, if I speak the exact word of God and say it once, the Bible doesn't say that you're going to get what you said.
It's like a seed.
Then. Seed gets planted, and it grows. And how many knows there's always a process of seeding, and then, yes, there's the watering, and sometimes the fertilizing, and so on, sometimes reseeding, and all of that. It's a process to get you to the point where you get a harvest.
Amen.
And it doesn't happen just because you said it.
That's right.
It all happens because you continuously plant seed.
Yeah.
You look after, you water. And all of those things are important. And I know you may say, well, we know all this, Pastor. We've been hearing it for years. Not everybody.
Not everybody.
And I'll tell you what. When I heard from God that I needed to deliver on faith to you, I had to sit and think. Because I hadn't preached it this way for a long time. And I had to sit and think, okay, God, how do I deliver this? How do I bring it to you? We practice it, but if you have not spoken it for a while, I really had to say, okay, Pastor, how are you going to deliver this about faith being a seed? It just wasn't right then, right there. And so I'm saying all this to say that we all may know this here. But what we've got to do is get it here. Because that's what getting faith is all about.
Yeah.
Getting it in your heart. All right. Mark chapter 4 and verse 24 says, take heed what you hear. How many know that God will bring us the same thought process time and time again to get his thoughts, his word, his faith through to us? And so we have to, in another vernacular, say that you have to be really careful what you allow your ear gate to take in. You ought not to just let your ear be filled with any old thing. That's a key deal to you. And you won't build faith if you just let it continuously be filled with something other than God's word and God's way. So, I said that all of this, getting faith to use, takes time. It's a process. Rather, I'd say it like this. It's a way of life. It has to be a way of life. And the old way of stating all of this did not originally say this to you. And I really want us to make sure that we understand that it's in being a process, it's a way of life. to get ourselves to the point where we have the kind of authority, dominion that we're supposed to have. Amen. And this is a key deal to us. So here's the bottom line now. Here's where it all begins. The first stages of confessing God's word are doing little more than causing faith to come. I know that's different for most of you, but it's important. Let's think what happens. We take the Word of God, and we speak the Word of God. Did that make it happen? No. Well, you take that same Word of God, and you speak it again. Did that make what you spoke happen? No. The deal is, things don't begin to happen that you say, even though they're the Word of God, and until you've got the process of the developing of faith happening. And until the process is happening, and if you don't understand this, then what happens is people kind of get down on the Word of God. Thought we were supposed to have dominion over that thing. Look at, I'm still having the same things going on. Because you're process yet has not taken you to the place where you have built up faith. And we'll show you some of that here in the Word of God. There's some wonderful examples. So this deal is not a fad. It's not even a get-rich-quick scheme or I'll get healed right now, immediately scheme. It's a building of faith toward these things. It's a building of faith for the promises of Almighty God. And if you consider it as any other way, what happens is you get down on the Word of God. This doesn't work, but it works, and it works big. So don't think this is a formula for anything other than faith. And even that's not a formula. It's life. God said, this is life, Spirit-filled life. And along the way, this is the key thing you need to get to understand and know, not the particular scripture, but this, and I wrote it down so I'd say it right to you. Faith is the ability, well, I'm going to back a little further even than that. You have to come to the place where you believe that what you say will come to pass. If you don't come to that, if that belief doesn't settle in your heart, faith won't happen. God believed it. Right. He made you in His image. Right. Light be, light was. I need to believe that what I say will come to pass.
Amen.
Of course, that kind of a sinking feeling comes with all of that. Because we so associate with the world around us that for most of us, what we're saying is agreeing with the world around us. Mm-hmm. And oh my goodness, we're going to get what we continuously say. How many know the Bible said that? You will get good or bad what you've been continuously saying. Some of us need to re-examine what we say. Talked about that a little bit last time, so I won't jump in there. So faith is the ability to conceive God's word into the human spirit. Amen. The heart. Do you know the heart and the human spirit? Yeah, they're connected, aren't they? Ephesians 4, verses 29 and 30. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. Have you ever thought, I know we think lots of times that, you know, grieving the Holy Spirit is this, or grieving the Holy Spirit is that, but the bottom line is that we simply grieve the Holy Spirit by speaking not in line with the Word of God,
yeah,
or not speaking the Word of God. I didn't write this. He did. It's a key deal, and it ought to be clear to us that our lives of faith depend on us speaking the Word of God. Our lives of faith don't get filled up. Our belief that we have what we say, is how God told us to please God. And we'll look at that some more. Here's an old saying that you've heard if you've been in Christianity for a long time, and I was thinking about it as I was putting these thoughts together for the morning. It's not going to work just because you say it, but saying it is involved in working it.
That's right.
And that's the truth. Okay, so let's decide that you want abundance. God talks about abundance being in our lives. He even talks about wealth being in our lives. Well, you begin by speaking abundance. You want abundance, you begin by speaking abundance. Is that okay? You find the scripture promise that says that, and you begin to speak it. And then you keep speaking it. You make sure that your prayers and the words that you speak in ordinary conversation say the same thing.
Amen.
That's a big deal. Otherwise, the words that you speak in everyday life cancel your prayer. Can even cancel your confession.
Right.
So you've got to make sure they all line up. This is on the way to faith.
Absolutely.
This is exactly how God says faith comes. And you keep speaking abundance until faith comes. So I thought to say this a little bit louder than a lot of other things so there can be no misconceptions in the whole area. The first stages of confessing the word have little effect on problem areas. Now some of you won't like that, but it's the truth. It will affect them only when you believe it. Only when faith has started to come. I don't know what mountains you're all facing in your life, but from time to time, every one of us has a mountain. Mountain being problem areas in our lives. It may be a problem area that has to do with finance, maybe with relationships, and on. The bottom line is most people wait until they've got a problem, and then they want to find a promise and say, God, I'm just reminding you today, you said, and then you speak the scripture, and you expect to put the run on that mountain, to move that mountain right now because you just said it. But here's the key. It's all a process. It's a process to come to faith. And the process is planting His word, saying His word over a period of time. It's a process. And so that's why a lot of people, they think they've had a faith failure. They didn't have a faith failure. They didn't have faith to begin with. All they did was speak the word. But the process is important in this whole deal. Come to the place where you believe that you'll have what you say. And then you'll begin to be able to affect and move the mountain. Hope that's making some sense for you today. You won't have faith failures then. I found this scripture and I thought it was kind of fun to place it in the middle of the message this morning. The word is nigh thee, Joshua 10, 8 and 9. The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth. Let's see what it says when it comes up here. The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth. The word needs to be in your mouth. You need to say the word. Joshua 1:8. I know it's going to come. It's going to come. Oh, I'm sorry. Joshua 1:8. I brought confusion to the camp there. Sorry. Cancel that too. I'm having to be like the mayor of Toronto right now. He keeps saying sorry every time he comes up. He says he's sorry. And that ought to be enough, he thinks. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. That's a big deal. That's God saying, you need to keep the word of God in your mouth. You need to be continuously saying it. It says, shall not depart means it ought to be always there. And remember that from the original language, that word shall is like of a guarantee. So hear what the Lord's saying to you. This is a must of a guarantee. If you're going to operate things according to my kingdom, you will keep the word, the book of the law, the word of God, the promises of God. You'll not let them depart from your mouth. But you shall meditate in it. How many know, remember, you've all been taught it, but how many remember what meditate means? Yeah, it says, to regurgitate as a cow chews its cud. Yeah. And so, well, that's continuously speaking, continuously taking the word of God and sowing it from your mouth. But you shall meditate in it day and night, all the time, that you may observe to do according to all that is, to all that is, to all that is. Nobody look at the soundboard. Written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Sorry about teasing you guys back in the soundboard. That's a thankless job. Let's thank our soundboard people this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to Mark and chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. And I'm soon done, just to bring some remarks here. Mark 11, verses 22 to 24. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Need a couple more verses there. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Let's go to the beginning there again, please. I want to point something out to you this morning. Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Looking at the process now. The first thing that we have to get to is faith. That's what the process takes us to. We begin to speak the word of God, plant the seed, God's seed, and as we do that, we are not hitting the mountain yet. We're building faith. We're coming to a place of faith, okay? Show us some more scripture. For assuredly, that means guaranteed, right? I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. That would not happen without faith. you arrive at the faith station first before you move on and be able to move mountains.
Yeah.
That's a key deal for you. You arrive at the faith area through speaking the Word of God. And continuous speaking the Word of God takes you to a place where you move mountains. Mm-hmm. Through the eye of faith. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. These are important scriptures that we grab hold of to take the success that God wants us to have in every area of life. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the manifestation of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. No, that's good. Bottom line, he's faithful. He's absolutely faithful to his promises.
Yes, he is.
Some people want him to be faithful to other things. He who promised is faithful. And he's faithful all the time when you work it God's way.
That's right.
Not our way.
There we go.
Not what we think. What he thinks. He's very clear about that in his word, isn't he? Here's a statement I found. I don't know who wrote it in the beginning, but I found it in my notes when Ed Dufresne, now gone home to be with Jesus, when Ed Dufresne was here with us in our church, and he said this, and I, for whatever reason, kept it. Your faith will rise no higher than your confession of the Word of God.
There you go.
That's a pretty neat saying.
That's
your faith will rise no higher than your confession of the Word of God. I don't know if I can explain all this to you, and I'm watching your time and my time right now. You know that years ago, don't even know what year it was anyway, but I took my airplane pilot's license. And I had some things, questions answered for me, because I did not really understand back at the time how some of those great big airplanes, tons of them, I could probably understand how a little light aircraft got off the ground, but I had to wonder, back then that was the beginning of L-1011s and some of the big airplanes, and I was 65, you know, somewhere in that area, and so, wow. In any event, they began to talk to me about the law of thrust and all kinds of things that most people don't even think about, you know. But you know, an airplane doesn't get off the ground without thrust. You can have all other conditions right, but thrust was the main deal. In other words, you had to get up some speed to get off the ground. In some notes that I took way back, and I don't even know where I took them from, but I began to realize that confession is to faith as thrust is to an airplane.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's good.
You don't get anything off the ground without thrust. You don't get anything off the ground in your faith walk without faith. And then last couple of scriptures. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible. Do you see that word impossible? Without faith, it's impossible. It's not likely or anything like that. It's impossible. God wrote this. Without faith, so I might as well just say it down and dirty. You can't please him. You just can't. Without faith.
That's right.
You just can't please him.
Amen.
How terrible that thought is to me. That I just could not please God. That's who I live for. But what's really weird about all of that in our society today, even the Christian life, many people don't consider or think that God said, here's how you get faith. And then they don't do it. They don't consider that that's the only way you get faith. God said. So, wow, that's big to me. I read that and say, if I don't have faith going here, I just can't please my God. Wow. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently take his word and work his word. That's where our rewards come. Because our rewards attach themselves to faith. And then I'm just going to close with the scripture that we began talking about faith about from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is. Now faith is. Let's put it up. We've looked at it several, 3 times, 4 times, as we went through these 2 teachings. But hear it one last time. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. I don't have to ask forgiveness for this one. This is true. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith. You know, I've heard that now preached a lot of times, a lot of ways. I'm not sure it always means now, although it fits. But when I go back and study that one word, which probably some of you have done too, the original putting of it, if you like, just meant, well, now if I was teaching you, I'd say, now, or if I'm talking to the kids, now do this. It doesn't necessarily mean that the time is all stopped and it's just now. We could read it like this. Now, if you had faith, it would be to you the substance of things hoped for. And there are things in your life that are hoped for. There are things in your life that are desired. There are things that should be in your life that God hoped for and God desired. And he put them in his word. And if you just operate faith like he said to, in other words, plant the seed of faith, you're going to get a harvest, and it's going to be a wonderful, awesome harvest because you said it and did it in the faith of God. Now faith. Well, there's lots to say about faith. There's lots to take action in faith too, because faith is both a noun and a verb. It's a big deal to operate in faith. Because it's God's only key, it's his only deal to get you to the place he wanted you to be. Amen. The only deal, no other way. And so there are a whole lot of us in the kingdom that we know kind of these things, but we don't realize sometimes the seriousness that God's got a kingdom. Yep. He operates the kingdom the way he wants to. Yep. I don't have any say in it. I just need to obey him. And when I do, it's an awesome life ahead for me. Because right. All the That's promises right. of God are his. And isn't that a wonderful thought? That you're made in his image. You and me were made in his image. And he provided that we'd have dominion. What we have, what we say, we'll eventually get. Blessings on you. Brother John, come.